Different this morning. So this is our attempt at something a wee bit different this morning. There's a lovely atmosphere in here this morning. I don't know if you've noticed, there is a really nice atmosphere in here this morning. There's a warmth in here this morning, which is lovely. And I wonder if that's actually because in amongst our conversations and in amongst our fellowshipping together, the Holy Spirit is on the move. And we don't need to do anything crazy, big and spectacular. But in actual fact, in our daily conversations, in our sitting together, in our being able to just chat with one another, Holy Spirit is actually on the move. And I wonder what it is he's doing this morning. So I thought it was interesting that the Holy Spirit comes in community forms. But then as you go on and you read in Acts, you read about some of the other things that happen. And we're going to think about Peter and John this morning and about the healing of the lame man. So we're going to read it together first of all. I'm going to try, I hope, and read it from the screen so that I make sure I'm reading the right thing. Is that okay? It should come up, I think, just in case it's a slightly different translation. So I'm going to try and read it from the screen. So Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man who was lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." What a remarkable story. Can you imagine the buzz that would be going on in here just now if every day, that every time we came to worship, we had to come in past the door there and there was somebody sitting begging who was lying on a mat and who couldn't get up, and every day somebody carried him in and put him down there and people came past. Can you imagine what the buzz around the centre would be if all of a sudden that man got up and walked round about White Inch? Can you imagine what the buzz would be? That's what it was like for these guys. That's what it was like in this place. But the day started for Peter and John just like another ordinary day. Because they had been with the believers. We're told in the chapter just before, just in the verses before we read these ones in chapter 3, we're told that they had been with the believers. The believers met together, they fellowshiped together, a bit kind of like what we're doing here. They met together, they ate together, they fellowshiped together, and that's where Peter and John had been. That's where they'd come from, a routine, ordinary day, because on an ordinary day they would go to the temple to pray. It was just an ordinary day. There wasn't really anything special about it. I was thinking about this and thinking about the fact that God takes great delight in breaking into the ordinary, doesn't he? Sometimes we don't have to do anything spectacular because God is just waiting to be invited to break into the ordinariness of our day. And I want to say to you this morning, if you think that there's nothing very special about your life, then you're in a prime position for God to show up. Because God loves to break into the ordinariness of our life. The second thing that I've noticed about this passage is that nobody had hugely high expectations here. The people were carrying this guy in as usual. He set himself up to beg as usual, and he asked Peter and John for money. There's nothing strange about that. That's exactly what the normal day-to-day thing would have been. But if you think about what was happening in the background, so the Holy Spirit had come. All these people were around the city for the festival that was on. They were all around the city. They were all coming with different languages. All these people had been, the Holy Spirit had come upon the believers. They were able to talk to people in their own languages. So all of this was going on in the background. But yet here on the way to the temple, it was just the routine ordinariness of the day. And sometimes there's something very special going on in the background that people don't actually notice until God decides that it's time to move. And that's exactly what happened here. The man was where he had always been. The people were where they had always been. Peter and John were doing what they were normally doing. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And I started to wonder whether or not this was it all breaking out beyond the believers. And I've searched through the chapter before when it talks about the Holy Spirit coming and then what happened in that. And yes, Peter had gone out and he'd preached to the crowd and he made no bones about what he was preaching about. And he'd gone for the jugular with the crowd. And it talks about there being healings and miracles. But it looks to me as if a lot of those healings and miracles might have been within the context of the believers. Now, absolutely, people would have had knowledge of that outside. So people would have heard what was going on with these people. But I wonder if at this point, is this the point where it actually broke out beyond the community of believers that had come together because of the coming of the Holy Spirit? I wonder if this is the breaking out beyond the walls of the church. It's a bit like their church without walls thing. And interestingly, Peter and John had to be in the right place. God makes sure that they are just in the right place at the right time. If they'd gone earlier, then the man might not have been there. If they'd gone later, they might have missed him because there might have been a crowd round about him. But God makes sure that Peter and John are just in the right place at the right time. You see, God is a God who pays attention to detail. And he knows the big picture, but he also knows the detail. And he knows where we need to be, and he knows who we need to come up against, and he knows what conditions need to be there for him to come and to do what it is he wants to do. But then we read on at what Peter said. I mean, the folks were astounded, but we read on at what Peter said. Peter was bold in terms of being able to offer the man what he had, to say to him, I don't have any silver and gold. I'm going to pray for you. Now, praying for somebody and calling out healing for somebody outside of this context is even more scary than doing it in this context, isn't it? I mean, for me, it's scary enough doing it in here. If you move out then onto the street in White Inch or up to the health centre or whatever, that's even more scary. And that's what Peter and John did. They had boldness because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they weren't doing it in their power. They were doing it in God's power. If that's all that had happened, verse 10 tells us that the people were absolutely astounded, totally astounded. And they were astounded at the fact that this man was walking. So if that's all that had happened, I'd have been ticking the box and thinking, fantastic, great day's work, God, that's me, I'm done for the day, I've done the praying, the man's got healed, we're sorted. Let's just merge into the background now, get on with what we were doing, and then we'll think about another miracle tomorrow. That's probably what I'd have been thinking about. But Peter doesn't do that. Peter seizes his opportunity. That's what the text says. Peter noticed the opportunity and went for it, and he addresses the crowd. And in verse 13, he says to the crowd, the person who healed this man is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. See, when you look at what Peter says, I look at it and I think to myself, man, Can you imagine standing up and saying those things? These people were actually the people who had seen Jesus crucified, who had handed him over. And here's Peter standing up. I'd have been wanting to sugarcoat it in some way, shape or form, saying, look, isn't this amazing? Look, Jesus has healed this man. Let's not talk too much about what you did or what happened. Let's just point forward and look to the future. I'd have been trying to soft soap it a wee bit. But Peter doesn't. He absolutely goes for the jugular and doesn't pull his punches. This was you. You did this to this man. And now look at what's happening. Now look at what's happening, because this man was no ordinary man. He doesn't pull his punches with the crowd at all. I think it's even more remarkable that Peter that does this is the same Peter who denied Jesus. He's the same one who ran away when Jesus was arrested. He's the same one who, when he was in the courtyard and the wee girl said to him, you were with him too. He's like, no, absolutely not me. He was absolutely terrified to own Jesus. Look at the difference in him when the Holy Spirit comes. Look at what he's able to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like he's not the same man, but he is the same man. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming, because there's always got to be fruit when Holy Spirit comes. The fruit of the Holy Spirit coming, as I see it in the early chapters of Acts, is power, is courage, and is community. Those are the three things that stick out for me in those early chapters of Acts. And very often in here, we position ourselves and we invite the Holy Spirit to come, and we invite him to come and fill us. And we did that last week, and people came up and were prayed for, and we did all of that last week. But as Stephen was saying last week, there's got to be something, there's got to be more than just that was a nice experience. There's got to be an outworking of it. If we truly want to be like the early church in Acts, we should see the power, we should see the courage, and we should see the community. And in some small measure, we are actually seeing that this morning. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you the question that was on the title slide for this morning. And the question, I'm hoping, has made it to the software. The question is, what's in your hand? Because you see, not all of the believers did the same thing. So we're not told that everybody stands up and preaches like Peter. We're not told that everybody goes out and everybody prays for healing and everybody gets healed. We're not told that. We're told that the believers come together in community. And I want to ask you this morning, what is in your hand that God wants to bring power to you in terms of being able to work that out with him and how you use it? And what is it that's in your hand that he wants to give you the courage to use? What is in your hand? Is the thing that's in your hand encouragement? Do you know that actually you see folks who just need to be encouraged? Is there a way that you can posture yourself and invite Holy Spirit into your encouraging so that in actual fact, when in the natural you encourage people, people encounter Jesus in it? Is the thing that's in your hand the ability to listen to people? Do you just love to sit and listen to people and you're really interested in people? Is there a way that you can take the ordinariness of the thing that you're good at or the thing that you like to do and offer it to Jesus? Ask him to fill both you and that with his Holy Spirit so that it's empowered and you're empowered and you have the courage to use it in the places that he wants you to use it. Holy Spirit-filled listening doesn't really look on the outside any different to any other kind of listening. But it's a wealth of difference for the person who encounters the listening. Because not only do they encounter the listening from somebody who cares, they encounter the listening ear of Jesus that comes through you because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Is the thing you have in your hand the ability to help practically? So are you sitting there thinking, don't ask me to listen, don't ask me to be encouraging because I'm not really very good at that. I don't like doing the one-to-one thing or the personal, I don't like doing that. I want to tell you that's all right. It's not all right if you're going around being nasty to everybody with it, but it's okay if that's not your thing. Is your thing practical stuff? You know, so do you see things that are actually that you could make an improvement on? Do you look and you think, actually, you know, I could put those chairs away or I could put those tables away or I could... Is that your thing? Is it the practical thing? Because if it is the practical thing, then I want to encourage you to bring the practical thing to him open-handed and say, Jesus, will you fill my ability to be able to see this, that, or the next thing, and to be able to do this, that, or the next thing? So that as you do it, somehow the people around you when you're doing it, and I don't know how this happens, are caught in the overflow of Holy Spirit overflowing out of you as you do what you're designed to do and what you're built to do. Absolutely, there's sometimes we have to do things that we don't like doing. That's just life. You know, you just have to suck that up. Sometimes we really need to do stuff and we're not really gifted in sweeping the floor or, you know, tidying the dishes or whatever. Sometimes we just have to do it because actually that's about community and about serving one another. But the things that really get you going, the things that you know that God has put inside you, can you offer it? Can you let him fill it? And can you let that sweep out of you to other people? Because actually that's what community is about and what forming community is about. And that doesn't matter whether you are one of these tiny wee people who are running around here who don't really understand anything that's being said here just now, or whether you're slightly bigger in Revolution, or whether you're slightly bigger than that in Encounter or young leader in youth work, or whether you're even bigger than that and even older than that, and we don't want to go down that road of how old any of us are. But even if you've been around for a long, long time, doesn't matter where you are, whatever you have, like the wee boy in his lunch, you bring it to him and say, God, here it is. Can you fill it? Can you bless it? And can you help me to actually ooze you as I do that? Your thing might actually be praying for people. That might be the thing that over the years you know that that's what you have a gift for. I want to encourage you not to just settle for the prayers that you can pray. I want to encourage you to bring that gift of intercession and being able to pray before God and say, God, will you fill this afresh again? Will you give me the courage to go where you ask me to go? And will you empower me and empower my ability to pray, to be able to pray like you would want me to pray in accordance with heaven? So what's in your hand this morning? What's in your hand that you have to offer into the community this morning? Because this is where it starts. It's where it started in Acts. It started in the community and then it spilled out there. What's in your hand this morning? What we want to do now is we're just going to take maybe 10 minutes or so, just round about the table. So chat with the person sitting next to you. It doesn't need to be a whole table conversation. Have a conversation. We'll put some music on. Take 10 minutes or so. Maybe there are people at your table this morning who need to be encouraged. And if your gift is encouragement, maybe God has paid attention to the detail this morning. Maybe, just maybe, even in this place, he can pay attention to the detail. And you're sitting beside somebody this morning who needs to be encouraged. Maybe if your gift is praying for people, if your gift is intercession, you're sitting beside somebody this morning who would just love you to pray for them, but they just don't want to ask. Let us take just a minute to ask Holy Spirit to come and to come into the tables, to come into our conversations and to help us to see what it is he's doing amongst us this morning so we can do it. And you know what? See, if you don't get a handle on any of this at all and Holy Spirit doesn't say anything, maybe he just wants us to sit and have conversations with one another and be family together. And that's okay too. It's all right if he's doing something, and it's all right if he's not doing something. If he's doing something, we want, like Peter and John, to be able to have the courage and the boldness to position ourselves to do it. If he's not doing something, we certainly don't want to make a big floor show and try and make it happen and pretend it was him. We just want to be normal and be able to have family and community and relationship together in here. Both are valuable, and neither is more valuable than the other. Let me pray for us, and then we're just going to take 10 minutes or so, and then kind of towards the end of that 10 minutes time, Shona will come back up and kind of pull things back together, and we'll bless each other, and then there's possibly still cake left. You can catch cake and coffee again on your way out. Who said you couldn't have 2 cups of coffee in the morning at a service, or even 2 bits of cake because nobody's counting? Okay, let me pray for us, and then let's chat. So Father, I thank you that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit meant that there was power, there was courage, and there was community in that early church. Father, we so want that here. And we never want to be in a place where we are trying to make it happen or trying to pretend that it's happening. Father, we know that you're at work by your Spirit in places that we don't even recognize you're at work. because we know that you're the God that goes before us. So Holy Spirit, will you come in greater measure in this place now? We know that you're here because you've told us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there. So we know you're already here and we know that you came in with us. But Holy Spirit, will you increase that sense of your presence in this place this morning? Will you come and will you give us courage? Will you come and will you make us bold? Will you give us whatever it is we bring to you now with an open hand? Will you come and will you not only fill us, but will you fill whatever it is we are bringing? So that when we use whatever it is you've given us, that we use it in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, will you let us see where Jesus is working in the ordinary? Father, I pray particularly this morning for folks who are here who feel that they don't have anything to offer, who feel that they are stuck in the ordinariness of their life, or they're caught up in stuff that they would think that they don't have anything to bring. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I break that lie now and ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit and that this morning they would see the gift that you've given them, that without bringing that to the party has something lacking in it. So Father, come, continue to move amongst us, be in our conversations, be in our coffee, be in our fellowship, and be in our prayers together. And in all of that, we ask that in this place, Jesus would get the glory, and that glory would spill out into the world that we go back out into. In Jesus' name.